This is a very big development because it's been on the agenda for several years. There's been quite a clamor publicly to hold a constitutional convention, but the parliament has, until just a week or so ago, had not approved legislation to do it. They've finally done it, and the key issue that seems to be on pretty much everyone's agenda is to change the parliamentary style of government so that we have direct election of a president and a vice president. And it seems that people feel that that will give the presidency greater authority than the present system where the president is elected by the parliament.
Also, I gather that there are proposals for reserved seats for women, talk of elections for special prosecutor, and the establishment of an ombudsman's office. So, I mean, if all these changes are voted through, this will be an overall very big change for Marshall Islands.
Yes, it could be. The thing is, there have been two constitutional conventions in the past, and virtually none of the amendments were adopted by the public. So it's not only that they have to get them through the CONCON itself, but then it has to go to popular vote, and that's a challenge because it's not a 51%. It takes I believe it's a two-thirds vote, and it's hard to come by. So we'll see, but there seems to be very strong approval in the community, according to various public hearings that were held, to get direct election of the president, which would be a dramatic change in the government here.
So perhaps some groundbreaking changes ahead. And talking of groundbreaking, a new hospital, $42 million hospital, is underway.
Well, this is what's happening. A groundbreaking ceremony was held for this new hospital. The U.S. government has approved about $5 million for the initial phase. Whether they will approve the entire amount, that's still out waiting for designs and the issue to go back to the U.S. But in any event, they've launched it. And I think the really key question in all of this is, because the management at the hospital has had so many problems with maintaining equipment, maintaining doctors, maintaining medicines, and so on, is if they're building a new and larger facility, how will it function? How will it be operated?
And I guess also, how will it be staffed is likely to be a key question, isn't it?
Well, that's true. And given the situation that now we have a shortage of both nurses and doctors, that's a really critical point, is, you know, the staffing and just the overall operation, given the way that the hospital's been functioning at a low level, is can they, will they bring in a management team to help with going into the new hospital like they did 30 years ago? Just hard to tell exactly how that'll play out.
Now, we have an interesting situation as far as the national budget is concerned. The government has approved, I believe, the biggest ever budget of some $177 million, and yet still Marshall Islands heavily dependent on donor aid. So how do those two things add up?
Yeah, this is has just continued the trend for, I'd say, the past three decades or so under the Compact of Free Association, where close to two-thirds of the country's budget comes from donor aid. That's remaining in the current budget for the new fiscal year that just started last week. However, the revenue developments on the local side are that the Marshall's participation in the parties to the Nauru Agreement Group has simply seen a skyrocketing of fisheries money. I think there was about $11 million in fisheries revenue last year injected into the government. This year it's $20 million, and that represents just about a third of the locally generated revenue. And to give you a perspective on it, like 10 years ago, fisheries was injecting maybe $2 million a year, so now it's up to $20 million. So that's a significant development for the Marshall Islands, but still heavily dependent on donor aid.